Recently, I've been thinking a little bit about light. And I was in my thoughts on the subject of light. I started realizing just how deep God's word is. And I mean, just that subject in itself, I started getting a little bit overwhelmed in just all the things that you could say and all the different avenues that you can go on with light. And all the scriptures that are involved in that one particular subject. And it really just amazed me at how deep God's word really is. And how much I still need to learn, you know, and how much I still need to dig and allow Him to reveal things to me. And so I guess, and just in a side note, I think it just kind of gave me a renewed desire to really get into God's word and to allow Him to speak. Because I think sometimes we can get to thinking like, you know, I've read that scripture, I've read the Bible, I've read it many times over, you know, I've heard all of it. But really, that's just the beginning of it, to have read all of it. And even to have read all of it many times. It's really only the beginning, because this is something that we're basing our lives on. This is something that we're living out. It's the Word is alive. It's not like a regular book that you just get from a library and then you read it one time and you know the story and you're done. This is a book that lives and breathes in us. And it goes far deeper than what we can even imagine or even think. And so that's why we come and gather together, so that we can hear what God would have to say to us, because He's going to surprise us. You know, He's going to say something that maybe we hadn't heard yet. And I doubt that I'm going to say something that maybe you all haven't heard yet. But I want to grow in my depth in God's Word. And I want to grow in the depths of the knowledge of Him. I want to start in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God is light.
That's right.
You know, I think about that, and, you know, I think about the beginning of the creation, and it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and He spoke light into existence. As if there was no light at that point. But then you'll look and you'll see that He created the sun and the moon later. And so you think, well, what light did He create that first day? You know? And I've heard some different ideas about it, and I'm not going to sit here and try to say what I think He created in that specific time. But I think that God has given us the ability to understand Him and to see Him and to know Him and to experience Him, and that is light. To not know anything about God, to not have even an inkling that there's an existence of a God, is in darkness. That's to be in darkness. It's to be blinded. It's to be shut off from the true essence of life. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We'll read verse 29. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. It says, "For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will enlighten my darkness." The Lord will lighten my darkness. You know, I think about this scripture, and it reminds me of another scripture. I believe it's in Proverbs, where it says that your word is a is a light unto my feet, or a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in this scripture, it's saying that He will enlighten my darkness. And in reading that, it just kind of reminded me of my situation prior to knowing the Lord. I was in utter darkness, complete and utter darkness. I had no idea what life meant. I had no purpose in my life, no reason to really even be alive. And when the Lord stepped in, it's like He shone a light on my life. And in that light was hope. Yes. I think about it, and if we were just in pitch blackness and there was no sun and no light, you know, actually I've heard about it in Alaska. They have times of the year where there's hardly any light all year long, or all day. You know, it's like 23 hours of darkness. And they said that it has an impact on the people there, that depression is prevalent. Because darkness is oppressive. It closes in on you. There's something about light that brings hope. And so God is our hope. He is the light of our hope. In Him we have hope, we have existence, we have purpose, we have a meaning for life. And He has shined His light upon us. It says in Matthew 4, 14 to 16. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness," which was me, "saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Who is that light? Who is the light that is sprung up, that enlightened my darkness? Because reality is, the word, the law, the commandments, really all they did was increase my darkness. To know what not to do just plunged me deeper into the depths of despair and no deliverance. In order to get out of that darkness and out of that despair, I needed what? A Savior. Jesus Christ. And that's what is prophesied, that there's a light that's going to come. A light to the Gentiles to bring them deliverance. John 1. Verse 4. To Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lightened every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus Christ, John bore witness to Jesus as being the light of the world, our light, our hope of salvation, our hope of deliverance, our hope of cleansing in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus Christ is our light. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." So Jesus Christ is our light, and He shined into us and gave us hope of a new life, a new creation in Christ Jesus, the promise of a new existence in our lives. You know, like I was saying, I was in darkness. Complete and utter darkness in my life. And I had plunged myself in even worse darkness than maybe the average person, just has my own decisions and own faults and failures. And so I was in the miry clay in the depths of the pit of darkness. And even in that place, God's light shined upon me. And in that, basically, I look at that as His light is His, like, revealing Himself to me.
Exactly.
You know, He's given me light and understanding that not only is He there, but that He cares for me and loves me and wants good things for me and is willing to have mercy on me and forgive me and to draw me out of that pit that I got myself into and make me new and create a new life in me. And it kind of reminded me of this song in 114. It says, "Along a dark and gloomy path I groped beneath the shades of death, no hope beyond my dying breath till light from the Savior came. So in the light of God, now my soul is singing. All is bright in the light of God. I'm now in the light of God." Thank the Lord. It says, "My darkness now is passed away. In Jesus, all is perfect day. And peace and comfort ever stay, since Christ is my perfect light." And so I thank God that I dwell in the light now. And that I can see. And He's a light into my path. He's showing me how to live. And that's just a huge blessing to be able to have the light of God shine upon me. John 8 and 12. I'm going to try not to put you all to sleep tonight or today. John 8 and 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So he's saying right there that if we will follow him and walk with him, that we won't be in darkness anymore. But we'll be in the light, in the light of life. And so I say all that to say that God is light. He's revealed to us light. He's given us light in our life. He's given us a path to walk. He's opened our hearts to Him and has come into our lives and cleaned us up and purified us and gave us a direction and a purpose for our life. And so now what? Where does it go from there? You know, the Lord says that we are the light of the world. Why does He say that? Are we light in and of ourselves? We're not. But before we do that, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 4 to 6. Well, we'll go ahead and read 3 too. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Do you know that the devil is still blinding people? Blinding them from the light? Blinding them from the gospel. The gospel is the light that they need. They're in utter darkness, despair, really have no hope beyond the grave here. I mean, you might look at them and think they seem happy, they seem like they're joyous, they're living it up in this life, but I really believe that deep down inside they're missing something. And they know they're missing it. They might not know what it is they're missing, but there's a void there. There's an emptiness there that only God can fill. He He says that the devil or the god of this world has blinded them, that they can't see the light. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So do you know that God has shined in our hearts for a purpose? It's not just for us to gather it into ourselves and to take it into our bedroom and to just bask in His light and enjoy it for ourselves. It says that He has given it to us to shine. To shine in the darkness. To give others light. To give others hope of an existence beyond the grave. You know, like I said, I've lived in darkness and was no longer in darkness. The Lord had delivered me and He had given me light, and yet I was still in the place that my sin had taken me. And it's a dark place. But I was thinking about it while I was there, and I was thinking of how even in the darkest places of the world, you'll find light. You know, in some of the worst places, I mean, like it was mentioned, Brother Sanchez going to Juarez, Mexico. They say that's one of the most dangerous places in the world. But yet there's light there because he goes. And I really believe that God has made it such that no matter where you go in the world, there's light. And I was thinking about it, what would the world be like if there was no light? What would it be like if there was no sun or moon or stars or electricity? You know, we've created our own light for ourselves. But what if we didn't have that? And it was just complete and utter darkness. I really believe that that's what it would be like if there were no believers on the face of the earth. If there was no church. If there was no you. Here in this community. In this world. The Lord has made us lights. By giving us light. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." You know, we talk about how this nation and other nations around the world, corruption is prevailing. It's getting worse and worse. You know, to believe in God is almost like a joke to a lot of people. You know, it's getting worse and worse. And what does the Lord ask us to do? He says He asks us to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of that. In the midst of that crooked and perverse nation. Right where you are every day. Where you work. Where you dwell. Where you live. To be a light. To be that blameless, shining light for others to see. That's hope of a better existence. Hope of deliverance. You know, I think about the testimony that Brother Carl mentioned earlier about how so many people had their light tossed in the trash can as if it was no light at all. But yet the one man had to be testified that this man is a man of God. And I thank God for that. I thank God that there is a representative of His church. That you can say, you know what? That man is a man of God. And believe me, that man sounded like he was not afraid to say that's a hypocrite, and he'll call everybody a hypocrite if he thought it. And so his testimony of that man to me stands out. Because he's looking for hypocrites. He spots them. He's a critical judge, I would say. And yet that man was found blameless and harmless. Without rebuke. He couldn't say anything bad about him. Thank God for that. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know that that's a purpose that every one of us has as a believer. As it was mentioned earlier, it's not, you know, okay, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not that. Well, you're a light. If you're saved and you're in the church of God, you're a light. And that's a responsibility that He's given you right here. To shine your light. To be that light in a dark place. Because no matter where you go in this nation or in this city or town or country, there's darkness. Wherever you go. And you'll be a light. You're a light no matter where you go, as long as you're walking in the light. As long as you're following Jesus. And that's a responsibility that you have. To be a light. That's a responsibility that I have. To be a light. To be a testimony. Without having to say a word. That people would recognize that you're a light. Matthew 5. Ye are the light of the world. Now we read earlier that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So the only way that we're going to be the light of the world is by having Jesus Christ within us. His light shines in us. We don't have a light of our own. All we have is the light of Christ in our hearts that emanates out of our lives and calls as a beacon to other people who are in darkness. But ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Be a light. And I'm not saying that you have to go out and parade in front of yourself saying, hey, look at me, I'm a light. But be a light. Be what God has called you to be. Shine forth. You're going to stand out. You're going to stick out. You know, I had a guy at work just the other day ask me. He says, you know, you're a religious guy, aren't you? I said, well, I guess you could say that. I wouldn't necessarily call it a religion, but I didn't want to argue with him. But I said, yeah. I guess I am. I figured that. And it was because the way he talks. Not a sentence comes out of his mouth that isn't foul. All day long. And he saw how it affected me. And how I didn't get into it. Or enjoy it. Or he said, yeah, I could tell by the look on your face. He had a little phrase that he used all the time. And he said, I could tell by the look of your face that you didn't like that, you know. And it made him figure, oh, well, he must be a religious guy, you know. I didn't have to tell him anything. I didn't have to say anything to him. I didn't have to pray to him about what I believe or think or about things. But it was evident. It was evident that he and I weren't really the same. And so he went on to say, well, you know, I'm not really that religious. And I said, well, I kind of figured that as well, you know. It was pretty evident both ways. Exodus chapter 34. So the Lord tells us that we're to be lights, that we're supposed to shine as lights, and we're supposed to be really a beacon for the lost, that there's hope. It's that light tower out there that, oh, there's hope. If I could just get to that salvation, then maybe my life will be different. Maybe my life will change. Maybe I can have what this guy has, a peace and a joy and a love in his heart, a happiness in dire situations. And the list would go on and on, that people would see in your life who know things about you. Say, you know, I know that that person has got, their life isn't great right now. But yet they come to work or they show up and they got a smile on their face still. You know, they got an encouraging word to say. They have hope. Where do they get that at? Where do they have it from? It makes people search. It makes them think. It makes them want something that maybe you have that they need. And so we said we're to be lights. But where do we get the light? Obviously, we talked about it that we've got to be saved. You can't have light without being saved. You're not going to be a light if you don't have Christ living and dwelling within you. Sanctified. But where do you get the light? Exodus 34 and 29. We're going to read probably to 35. And it says, and it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, I don't know if I'm saying that right. I know other people say it different, but Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God, or talked with him. And I believe that means that his face was open when he spoke with God. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. You know, I think about this whole scripture passage, and I believe there's one in Hebrews where it talks about how Moses had a veil, but that veil is taken away, so that we can actually see the glory of God, so that we can actually see the impact or the effect of God in the lives of people. But I think about this passage and how Moses went before the Lord, and he came from that presence, from the presence of God, and he shone to people. And so if we want to be a light and we want to represent God in this world, we got to get alone with God. We got to pray. We got to get in His presence and allow His light to shine on us, so that we in turn can spread that light into the world. And so I say, to get the light, you got to be in the presence of light. We got to go to the Lord and get light from Him and take it to the world. And that would be included in His Word. You know, you go to God and you read His Word, and He'll open things up to you. He'll inspire you. He'll give you understanding, and you'll say, wow, I didn't know it meant that. I hadn't saw it that way before. And the Lord will just crack open some things and you'll say, wow, the Word of God is deeper than I thought. I've read this scripture many times and haven't seen this depth of it. And that's more light being poured into you, more hope and more joy in the presence of God. So let's look at another one. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passed by us continually. Now, it doesn't say that Elisha told her, hey, I'm a holy man of God. But it says that she perceived it. And she was telling someone else, you know what, I perceive that there's something different about this man. What made him different? What made it so perceptible to her that he was a man of God? Other than perhaps his character, the way he conducted himself, the way he was, this was in the Old Testament, but still represents the power of God on a man or on a woman in changing their lives. And so I think about this and I say, you know what? I want to be so close to the Lord that people would perceive that about me. That they would perceive that, you know what? This is a man of God. Without me having to say anything or do anything special for that perception to come. But just for it to emit out of me the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the kindness of God, I want it to just emanate out of me. Yes. You know, the light's inside, I want it to shine out. And that's what God is. He's all those things. And that's what's going to shine out of us when the light of God is shining in our lives. Matthew 26. Verses 73 and 74. And after a while came unto him they that stood by. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give a preface of this situation. This is Peter's denial of Jesus three times. And this is the result of after the third time somebody asked him, surely you're one of them. This is Peter's response. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. I don't know what everyone else thinks about this, but when I think about this scripture, I think about, it says, your speech bewrayeth ye. Now, in another place, I believe it says that, aren't you a Galilean? And, which Galilee was where many of them were from who followed Jesus. And you say, well, okay, the language itself, I wouldn't say would be enough to make me think that this guy was following Jesus. But when it says in the very next verse that he began to curse and to swear, it makes me think that the speech that was berating him was the fact that he wasn't cursing and swearing. Now, I don't know that that's what it means, but that's what I'm thinking. And so to prove him wrong, he cursed and sweared to try to defend himself, you know. And I don't know, I think about sailors of this time, which Galilee was known for its ships and sailing and stuff like that. Sailors nowadays, they say, you talk like a sailor, you know, that's cursing and swearing and everything else, you know. But I was thinking about that. Your speech bewrayeth you. How many times does our speech testify for or against us? What comes out of our mouth will oftentimes represent us. It'll represent what's in our hearts. Maybe the lack of the cursing and the swearing. Maybe the lack of being constantly negative or judgmental, or, you know, the lack of that will speak a testimony unto you and unto your heart to other people about what has taken place in your life. Just as, like I said earlier, the man, what came out of his mouth testified to me that he didn't even know God. Not even sure that he even understands that there is a God. He's in utter darkness. But his speech reveals it. His speech testifies against him. Acts chapter 4. This is one of the scriptures that really kind of got me along the path of this message. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This again is the disciples were being arrested for preaching the name of Jesus just after Pentecost, and they're being told not to preach in this name. And in verse 13 it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." You know, the way they were, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and yet here they are. These mighty men of God who are standing up before the nation and preaching Jesus Christ in opposition to the authorities of the land. And they had to take note that these men had been with Jesus. And so I ask, would they say the same of us? Would they look at your life, when they look at you on a daily basis, and think, you know what? That person has been with Jesus. You know, we talked about being in the presence of God through prayer, through meditation in His Word. And I really believe that you come out of that looking like Moses, with the face shining. You know, maybe not the full-on glow of your face or whatever, but I do believe that the glory of God is going to come upon you. And it's going to be evident. When people see you, they're going to perceive and know that you've been with Jesus. You know, I think about that man at the tombs that was cutting himself. And nobody can tame this guy. The chains couldn't hold him. Nothing they can do. The man was lunatic. And here comes Jesus. Cast the devils out of him. And the man was in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. A testimony of the power of God. That those who knew the man, they couldn't deny what had happened. I mean, just think about that. Really, this is the same guy that used to cut himself and used to be in the tombs, and here he stands? It's a testimony of the power of God. Will people do that with us? Will they know? Will they know that we've been with God? Will they know that we've had a relationship and a personal contact with Jesus Christ? Would it be evident in our daily lives, our daily existence? Would it speak for us in our testimony when we speak, when we talk, in our interactions with one another and with those around us and those in our job areas and work areas? Is it going to testify of the light that we have? The Lord says that we're lights and that we should shine our lights out. Are we being a light? Are we representing the Lord? Because you know what? We may be the only light left in a dark world. You may be the only light in the environment that you live, in your neighborhood or at your job. You may be the only light that people have of a hope of salvation. I pray that the Lord will help us to shine His lights as He's called us to do, and to let His light shine. I appreciate you guys' time and attention.